Psalm 68, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I think I need about 4 weeks to unpack this psalm. Really great song of triumph. First, it was a popular song among God's persecuted people over time, especially the Huguenots. Everyone remembers the French Calvinists that were often beset by their Roman Catholic government. Second, it was on the lips of Savonarola as he went to the flames in 1498. For protesting against the abuses of an immoral church. This song of triumph has served then as an encouragement to the people of God, even the afflicted, for millennia. It is a wonderful song to remember in times of distress. So in this psalm then, we have the following. It is to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. We've heard that introduction so many times, we need not go back down there. Just let us remember that it is given to the people of God for them to sing in every age. All right, so when David writes, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let them that hate him flee also before him," you know who he's quoting, right? Well, he's quoting Moses in Numbers 10:35. When Moses first put the ark into its service at the behest of the Lord, and the ark went forward being carried by the Levites and led the people of God, Moses cried, "Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered, and let them that hate him flee before him." And so David begins here with that epithet that Moses preached when the ark was first commissioned to its service to lead the people of the Lord. And so David has a wonderful tabernacle idea here. Of course, remember that it was David that settled the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. So we have David here then advancing the religion of Moses, of the Lord, at the behest of the Lord. Moses was a part of a wandering troop with the Ark, David a part of it being settled in Jerusalem. And yet it is still God arising and his enemies being scattered, and those who hate him, let them flee from before him. Because, as the psalm says, it is out of Zion then that the Lord comes. So even though the Lord, can I say it this way, finds his sacramental or representative resting place with the ark in Jerusalem, that is not a barrier, that is not a stop to the gospel going to the entire world. It is still the Lord going forth with his armies. All right, so we have a shorthand name for Jehovah, right? And boy, there are people that get really exercised these days about, was the name of God Yahweh? Was it Jehovah? What was it? Well, it's difficult to know. I think that there are some old, very old records that would point to Jehovah. Moderns prefer Yahweh, right? But notice here, there is a shorthand name. It's just the very beginning of the name of God. It's Yah, right? It's just that first, it's the first two letters of the four-letter name. And so sometimes God is known by this shorthand name. There are a couple of places in Scripture where we read that. That shouldn't, may I say it this way, that the Lord knows how to reveal himself to different languages and people groups. You know, we're not tied to the name that is pronounced G-E-E-Z-U-Z, Jesus. We're not particularly tied to that. We know that the Greeks said Iesus, that the Hebrews said Yehoshua, right? The vocalizations may be different from language to language to language. We're not so concerned about that vocalization as we are about when the Lord would preach his name to us, the revelation of himself to us. And Jehovah, or Yah, is a very large part of that revelation, because in it, God reveals himself to be the one who lives by force of himself, right? He is the self-existent God who will always be there, the eternal God, to keep covenant with his people. The name Yah, or Jehovah, or Yahweh, if you hear it pronounced that way, that is God's special covenant name and reveals to us that he is the eternal, covenant-keeping, promise-honoring God. So that's what we remember. And so when he rides upon the heavens by his name Yah, what that tells us is that he rules over the entire world. And he rules it by his power and sovereignty, and yet he rules it in behalf of that redemptive way, because he is the covenant-keeping and promise-honoring God. So it is as Jehovah that he reigns over the world. It is not particularly as Elohim, although it is as Elohim. He is the mighty God over all the world, but he is also the covenant God over all the world. We can't forget that, especially as his people. So God bends all of that creation stuff, if you will, for redemptive ends. So as the ark then was a visible manifestation of God in the Old Testament, as he appeared to the people there, so also now Christ has come in the flesh and tabernacled among men. So he himself is a man. He is presented in the preaching of the word. He's present to the eyes of faith in the supper of the Lord. And it is he that scatters our enemies like smoke before the wind and wax before the fire. The Lord is able to scatter his enemies. And so our duty is to ensure that his enemies are our enemies, right? I remember there was a president of the United States that was asked, well, do you think that God is on our side of this conflict? And he said, that's not the right question. The question is whether or not we're on his side. Right? Joshua learned the same thing, didn't he? Joshua came out of the camp one night. There's a man standing outside the camp. He didn't realize it was the angel of the covenant, the Lord of hosts. And he says, are you for us or against us? Soldiering, right? And the angel says, wrong question. I represent the armies of the Lord of hosts. Are you with us? That's the question that we ought to be asking ourselves. So notice also that the scattering of God's enemies is the gladness of the righteous. It's because we love the same thing that God loves. We are grieved with the advancement, the prosperity, in that the wicked folk make use of that prosperity to advance wickedness. Well, we're not jealous of their prosperity. What we don't like, however, is that they use their prosperity to advance wickedness. And so when they are brought down, we rejoice. When wickedness decreases in the world, it is cause for the people of God to rejoice. Where did the celebration of Purim come from? When Haman and his wicked designs were brought down against the people of God, so then the people of God rejoiced. They entered into a civil holiday. They gave each other gifts. They gave thanksgiving to God, right? So the upright do indeed rejoice when wickedness is decreased in the world. Then notice also that the Lord is tender to those in need. And see the contrast here. He's not a warrior that looks out over those who are weak with disdain. He's a warrior that carries with him those who are weak. Right? Many who are strong tend to despise the weak. The Lord, the strongest of all, does not despise the weak. Instead, he carries them along with him. He ministers to them and tends their wounds and so on. What does it say? A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, God is holy in his habitation. He setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And so the Lord is that mighty warrior who rides upon the heaven of heavens in this song of triumph. But notice also that he doesn't leave behind the weak. He carries them with him. Well, we're all glad for that, aren't we? Because we are those weak ones that he carries forth with himself. All right, so now we come to verse 7. We have 7 through 14. And this is speaking specifically, I believe, of the Exodus. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah. Speaking about Sinai, speaking about the Red Sea, speaking about the rains that fell upon the people when they were thirsty, when the heat was overwhelming. If you've ever seen pictures of the desert of Sinai, you'll recognize that if rain ever fell there, it would be a welcome thing, right? Looks like a moonscape, mostly. Or a Marsscape, if you will. All right, so the inheritance of God then was comforted with rain, and it's indicative of the fact that the people of God had everything they needed in the land of promise and on their way to the land of promise. They lacked for nothing. Their clothing did not wax old. They ate the bread from heaven, and all of their spiritual wants were supplied by the preaching of the word, the worship of God, and the rock that followed them. They had everything that they needed as they went forth out of Egypt. They lacked nothing. Although they were poor slaves, the Lord treated them as kings and priests, and he delivered them all by his word. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. So great was his care that kings were scattered like snow upon the mountains. The weakest of them participated in dividing the spoil. Those that went out to war, and those women that stayed at home and tended the children in the homes, they also divided the spoil. Everyone profited from their going forth, in other words, from the least of them to the greatest, to those who were in the front lines and those who stayed at home. Everyone. The Lord left none, again, behind. So when God's people were in Egypt in slavery to sin, they lay among the pots, as it's described here. What does it mean to lay among the pots? What are the pots? Those clay things that once they get a crack in them, what do? Throw them out the window. And soon, you have a big pile of potsherds outside, right? Though you have lain among the pots or the potsherds, what does the Lord say about them? Yet ye shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, her feathers with yellow gold. Well, there couldn't be a greater distance between those two. That's what the Lord is getting across there, that although they have been poor slaves in Egypt, they will be as gold and silver in the greatest artisan work that could be imagined. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, in their inheritance, it was white as snow in Salmon. So now we come to verses 15 through 21. So the hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. Well, you need to know a little bit of geography to understand that. What is Bashan Hill? Well, it's a high hill in the north country up near Syria. So it is known as, it has a reputation in the ancient Near East as being a big, strong mound of earth from which people stand to look out over the rest of the land. It's higher than anything else in that north country. If you're looking to the south and west, it would be where you would want to be. But what does the Lord compare Zion to? The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. Now, geographically speaking, geologically speaking, Zion is much smaller. Geologically, it's a lot smaller than Bashan. On a magnitude of 2 or 3. But notice the question in verse 16. Why leap ye, ye high hills? And the question is like this. What do you have to rejoice about? Why should you be leaping? Why should you be joyous, you high hills? Simply because you're high? Because here in Zion is the place where the Lord has chosen to set his name. Of all the hills in the world, Zion is the one that has the right to leap because God has chosen to place himself there, to place his presence there. So why, all you other hills, do you rejoice? You have nothing to rejoice about. This is the hill where God dwells. This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. All right, so then in verses 17 through the rest of this section, 21, we have the Lord going forth to war, right? The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Most of you will recognize that that is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking of the victory of Christ. So what David is singing about here, and what Paul clears for us in Ephesians 4, is that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that has ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. And when our Lord Jesus ascends, he ascends as a victor. Remember, this is a triumphal song. So we're thinking of Christ in his triumphing over sin, over Satan, over the world, over the flesh, over the devil, over our own corruption. Christ triumphing over that so that he leads captivity captive. That is, those who were formerly captive to sin, Satan, and the flesh, and death, and so on. He leads them captive to himself. He has relieved them and led them with him up on high into those royal places. Why leap ye, little hills? Why should we not leap, beloved? You'll remember the man in Acts chapter 3 at the gate of the temple. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And what did the man do? He got up and he leaped and he jumped and he went into the temple with the people of God to worship the Lord. Whereas before, he had to content himself with the scraps at the gate. Right? So we then, as captive to Christ, head into those royal places to dwell with him. Yea, that the Lord God might dwell among them, though at one time we were rebels, no longer rebels, now captive to Christ. All right, so then David descends into a doxology. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation. So unto him belong the issues from death. We are delivered from death, in other words. But the unrighteous, they will be wounded in their head, the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. A head wound is considered a fatal wound. All right, so then we come to verse 22. And 23, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people from the depths of the sea. Well, you understand that from the former section. From the heights and from the depths, the Lord will bring his people. There's no place in between then that can keep the Lord from delivering his people and bringing them to himself. And what will they do when they come to him? Their foot will be dipped in the blood of their enemies and the tongue of their dogs in the same. So the Lord will cause them to see. They will witness the triumph of the Lord over his and their enemies. All right, so now we come to verse 24 through 31. And in this section, we see that God goes forth in the ordinances of worship. You see that? They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. How does God go forth? Well, how did he go forth of old? The Ark of the Covenant went first, right? And when the Ark of the Covenant went first, the priests followed along with singers and players. Now the singers and players are surrounding the Ark in Jerusalem during David's day. Yet it is still the same going forth. If we want, beloved, to triumph over the evil forces of this world, like we've said, it must begin here. It must begin here in proper praise to God. The church must begin first by praising the Lord, extolling him, and lifting him up. Only then will we see those positive effects leave our doors out into the world around us. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. And there is little Benjamin and great big Judah. There is Zebulun and Naphtali. The smallest Benjamin, the least notable, Zebulun, those who strive Naphtali, and those who reign Judah. All kinds are there, right? Doesn't matter what tribe we're from. It doesn't matter what our personality type or so on. All of God's people will be there to witness his triumph over his and our enemies. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us because of thy temple at Jerusalem. All kings shall bring presents unto thee. Once again, we have that triumphal statement of the nations flowing to Jerusalem. Then we have God doing battle once again and triumphing. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. And finally, then in verse 31 in this section, wonderfully, it says that Egypt and Ethiopia will also come. They will be subdued to the Lord as well and will come and bring gifts, and they will stretch out their hands unto God. So the triumph of the Lord is not just for Israel or over Israel, it is over the world. Right? Finally, we have a recapitulation of the whole in 32 through 35. Sing unto the Lord, ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, we've heard that before in this psalm, which were of old, he does send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. We're commanded then, because of all these things, ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. So, a triumphal psalm, really, just one to read and to bask in regarding the triumph of the Lord over his and our enemies, him getting glory to his own name. All right, with that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.